Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are Going In Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you can be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. And anywhere fine podcasts are available, be sure to hit that subscribe button. And if you got a phone, if you got one of these iOS devices, especially if it's, you know, an iOS device, if it's like an iPhone, be sure to hit subscribe on the podcast. I keep on looking at, we're not even in the top 200. And I see other podcasts that shouldn't be above us, but they seemingly are. Like, what the heck?
I'll tell you, Steve.
Bugging the crap out of me, Michigan Insider. Why does Michigan Insider get to be on
college football season?
They don't even have any. They don't even have any ratings.
College football,
Golflandia? Are you kidding me?
Golf's fun.
I'm sure they're nice people. I'm sure these are good people.
Is this what this intro is going to be? Is you complaining about our status on the iTunes
people?
Maybe this is what it is. Android's taking over market share. Maybe more of our people are buying Android devices and listening to our show on Android devices and not so much on iTunes. This is just iTunes.
No,
it's just one small piece of a larger pie.
No, I know, but I notice our audio numbers are not as good as I think they once were. I think we need to stress that people need to be hitting that subscribe download button on their audio device. Let's make a push. Go ahead and leave a rating or a review, and then you'll get a shout out on the show. How about that?
All right, fine.
Do a rating or review on the iOS podcast thing. Yeah, I'm shilling for numbers. I don't care. This is what I'm doing now. Patreon. Patreon.com/Steven Larson. I'm not even shilling for, like, I'll throw out the Patreon thing, but
you know,
I don't even care about that.
You know what we haven't mentioned in a while in the Patreon thing?
Care about the rankings.
Our $200,000 tier. We haven't talked about that in a while.
Because it doesn't actually exist. We put it on the thing, but Patreon didn't let us know that it doesn't exist. Like, you can't do that. Nobody can physically, technically, technologically speaking.
Well, they can't do it through a couple clicks on Patreon.
So if somebody all of a sudden puts in 20, what would it be, 20? Yeah, $29,999.99 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
20 of those, 20 yeah. of those pledges.
Yeah, that would count.
Yeah, that would count. So you can do that. And then Larson will too sweet me.
It's the only way it's going to happen.
Yeah. Programming note. We're doing a SummerSlam live stream, reaction live stream. That's what we're doing. We're not going to be showing you guys SummerSlam. You can get that for free in the network. If you've never,
three months free now, if you've never done a trial before. 3 months.
I wonder if the logic there is people will remember to cancel after 1 month. After 3 months, they won't remember to cancel.
That could be.
That could be. Because they're giving a lot away, they're giving a lot of that stuff away for free. Let me ask you something.
Hmm.
Had the WWE Network gone to 20? Let's say off the bat, they said it's only $19.99 a month. You get all the pay per views for free, including WrestleMania and all this great content. Would you have done it?
Yeah,
of course.
There's a lot of great stuff on there.
I feel like off the bat, it was one of those things where they said $9.99 a month, and then when they made that public, somebody was like, "That's a really low price." We probably could have doubled that, and nobody would have known the difference. We still would have had the same number as us.
I don't know if they had the same number, but it wouldn't. I don't know if how large of a hit they would have taken.
I think, yeah, I know. They probably should have started off at 20. Anyways,
they should start at like $12.99.
It's a great deal, though.
Oh, it really is.
It really is.
Anyways. Also, another programming note. We're trying something a little different on Dirt Sheet this week.
Mm-hmm.
I think. Guess we haven't 100% decided.
Wait. Oh yeah. Yeah.
We're gonna alter the format of the show a bit.
Yeah.
Still make it topical, news centric, but not so much because we're doing all these daily news videos now.
Yeah. People seem to like them.
Yeah, they're doing really well. People seem to really like them.
We don't want
to
repeat ourselves.
No. So Dirt Sheet is not going to be strictly about reporting news.
Yeah.
It's going to be about analyzing news.
Right now we're in a transitionary period where we're still doing daily podcast content. But we're adding in that daily news, like the news brief mm-hmm. in the morning, And so that has to kind of change some of our programming. I think what we're going to do is Monday is going to be the weekend news roundup. We'll probably start calling that Dirt Sheet.
Yeah, Dirt Sheet Live.
Exactly, because we'll that's going to be live, unless we're doing like a pay-per-view review.
Yeah. Which you will be on Monday.
So I don't know what we're doing, man. But it's a feeling out process. We're figuring things out. All it means, honestly, for you guys watching or listening is more content. That's all it really means.
Really.
So, but in terms of just like formatting, I think what we're going to do later on today when we actually film Dirt Sheet, we're going to be breaking down the SummerSlam
it's
matches.
It's going to be kind of our predictions episode, but we're going to take a different approach to it. Another thing, since we're doing this change with Dirt Sheet, it's going to change how we utilize video questions.
Okay.
So going forward, we'll go into more specifics later. Video questions are hopefully going to be a pretty important part of the show, but they'll have to be formatted differently for this week. Considering we have our topics of discussion, there's a pretty good possibility. I'll go through the video questions that were submitted this week and see if any of them apply. There might not be video questions.
Well, we should do like, you know, if we have them, they're paying the Patreon, the $20 Patreon mark. We'll do them at the end of the episode.
There's two of them.
There you go. All
right. But going forward, like I said, we'll go into more detail later on. About how we want these video questions to apply to the format of the show.
Yeah.
But I think it'll be a cool interactive thing that we can do with patrons in terms of them bringing topics to us for us to discuss.
Good. Yeah.
Anyways, let's move on to 205 Live NXT. Two really good episodes, especially 205 Live. I really enjoyed it.
We're doing a live show in Los Angeles with Brian Zane from Wrestling with Regret at the Meltdown Comics Nerdist Showroom. Is what they call it officially. You can check out there's a link in the description. If you're going to be in the LA area, September 24th for No Mercy, you can stop by, check out our live show a couple hours before No Mercy begins. Our show ends. So yay for us.
Yes.
Check it out. It should be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to it.
No Mercy too while we're there.
No Mercy. Maybe. We'll see. We're figuring. Apparently it's a hot ticket right now. No Mercy is a bit of a hot ticket right now. Yeah. It's hard to find cheap tickets. For that right now.
Well, it's because they're expensive. You can go and get them, you know, on sale right now. It's not secondary market. They're expensive. They're expensive right out the bat.
How expensive are they in the secondary market?
I don't know. Probably more expensive they are if you just buy them through Staples Center.
No Mercy. All right. Anyways.
Like floor seats are like $500.
Let's talk about floor seats are $500.
Yeah.
What about just the lower bowl?
Like $150.
We'll see.
It's pay-per-view.
205 Live. Good episode this week.
Yeah, great episode. I really enjoyed it.
It was good. You know, that's the one benefit that 205 Live, I would prefer they have takeover style events, but I mean, you do get a lot of blow off matches, like everything happens on 205 Live, unless it's like, you know, a title change on Raw or a pay-per-view.
But even like the opening tag team match, which, you know, especially on Raw when they have 205 Live tag team matches on there, it feels like filler.
Yeah.
Because there's no story development going on. In this match, first, there was some story development.
A little bit.
And two, it was fantastic.
Yeah, it was a really good match.
It was a lot of fun.
Look, man, you put Grand Metalik. Oh, nobody says his name like Mauro.
Oh, yeah.
Grand Metalik. Put him in any match, and it's going to be it's a recipe for instant fun.
Yeah.
It really is.
And pair him off against Drew Gulak.
Yeah, he's great.
Who are, in terms of their characters, in the wrestling style specifically, opposites.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. And then you have Tony Nese and Cedric Alexander, who that's got the makings right there for a fantastic feud.
They seem to have, you know, I really love Tony Nese's like theme music might be like top seven for me in the WWE. It's really fun. And he's a heel.
Yeah, I know. it's inspiring almost.
It is very inspiring.
But maybe the idea is to inspire people to put forth the effort to look like him.
Let me ask you something. What do you think of Gargano's new theme music?
You know, I listened to it when we were at the house show. Like, musically, it sounds not dissimilar from DIY's theme. It just has vocals. Like, the chord changes sound similar.
Yeah.
It just has vocals.
I mean, I think it sounds like a lot of the crap that people are listening to today, which makes me sound incredibly old, and I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
But I feel like Tony Nese's theme song, they should just give that to Gargano.
It sounds timeless.
Because I want... it does. It's very uplifting. Gargano's a hell of a wrestler.
Yeah, he is. His match against Itami at the house show was great.
He's fantastic. I'm looking. Yeah, that's going to be a show stealer.
Yeah. So this match, a lot of fun, a lot of great spots.
Mm-hmm.
Cedric Alexander pulled off the win after he gave Gulak a lumbar check.
Yeah.
Gulak sold the hell out of it, too.
Yeah, certain people can sell that lumbar check really, really well.
He had pain all over his face, and he sold it. It was fantastic.
He's really good. That's the feud. So is their feud simply going to be over the concept of who is the most premier athlete?
Oh, Cedric and Tony Nese.
Who's the premierest athlete?
Yeah.
That's all it needs to be, man.
Yeah, I know.
Because they are both premier athletes.
What 205 Live does really well, for the most part, is they have very well-established characters, well-developed characters.
Yeah.
They put them in storylines that are, for the most part, pretty simple.
Yeah.
They make sense. They're well-motivated.
Yeah.
And then through matches and character development, they enhance the story.
Yeah.
No, I know. They don't do a whole lot of complicated stuff like they do on the main roster.
Right.
They don't need it.
Yeah, exactly.
It works off. It comes off so much better when they don't do that.
I know. Next up we had, oh, this was good. So we got the first glimpse of Neville post-title loss.
Oh, man.
Noam Dar. He's great. He's a treasure.
Fantastic.
He's a treasure. Noam Dar, Arya Davari, and Lince Dorado were all in the locker room. And they were all very, you know, it's the peasants being happy that the king has been toppled,
yes.
Essentially. That's
yes.
What it was. And then as Noam Dar was talking about it, not paying attention, Lince Dorado taps him on the chest, and Noam Dar looks, and of course, camera backs up a little bit, and Neville had entered, looking like he hadn't, I mean, brilliantly, like they did makeup or something, looked like he had not slept.
Oh, it was a simple touch that he didn't put water in his hair, and so his hair was kind of frizzy.
That's right.
It was great.
That's right. It was fantastic.
Between that, and then you notice the puffy red eyes later on a lot more than this segment, but just the way he carried himself, he was kind of
just dejected.
His posture was awful.
Yeah.
It was great.
Like he was he had just been stewing ever since he lost that title.
And so they all leave.
Mm-hmm.
He stews for a bit more, grabs a chair, and throws it against the wall.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Next up we had...
This was actually pretty good.
I liked
this. This was actually pretty good.
I like this, man. Like the Brian Kendrick Jack Gallagher feud started off terribly,
and now we have paranoid Brian Kendrick,
but
it's kind of neat.
That's the thing, is that it led to this, and it kind of perfectly led to this because his promos were so poorly executed, but it worked for this, and it's giving us a whole new dimension with both these guys. So it was Brian Kendrick versus Mustafa Ali. It was a good match.
Yeah, it was really good.
It was good. We had stuff like, let's see, Kendrick. Oh yeah, the part where Kendrick put Ollie's foot in the ring steps was really good.
To it.
Yeah.
But like the first part of this match, Brian Kendrick's head was somewhere else. He was worried about Jack Gallagher coming out and beating up a bit. So he was distracted, and Mustafa Ali took advantage of it and was doing some really cool stuff.
Yeah.
Eventually Kendrick got his head in the match. At one point, knocking Mustafa Ali off the top rope when Ali was getting ready to do his inverted 450, and Ali takes some nasty looking bumps.
Yeah, he does.
Like
he
this
really
one, his
does.
Head
it's
is
weird.
Flush right in the turnbuckle.
It's so
he's
weird.
Fine. Kendrick puts Ali in the captain's hook, but Ali gets the ropes, and after that, you mentioned where Kendrick traps Ali's foot in the ring steps, is about to do something, and then Jack Gallagher comes out
of nowhere, just waylays Brian Kendrick and just starts destroying him. It's great.
Serious Jack Gallagher now.
Yeah, he's serious bare knuckle brawler Jack Gallagher.
Yeah.
So he does that. Kendrick once again runs away through the crowd. Just looks absolutely like freaked out. Later on, we'll fast forward.
Oh, this
later
interview
on,
was fantastic.
Dasha is waiting backstage, and Kendrick comes running by her with like all of his gear that he pulled from his locker, like he's just escaping a fire, and he's like being evacuated. And then she stops him, and she's like, "What's going on with you and Jack Gallagher?" And he's like, "He's everywhere.
I know
he's everywhere. He's like, I didn't know it was gonna be like this." And then he was like, "Well, maybe." Maybe if I can't do this on my terms, I'll do it on his terms. So next week, maybe I'll have a duel with Jack Gallagher. So they're going to have a duel.
I know. That's great.
Really hope they bring some old-timey pistols.
That's probably not going to happen, man.
To this. Be great.
Going back earlier in the show, Rich Swann interview.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about his match he's supposed to have against TJP that night.
I feel this is a bit of a step back for the Rich Swann interview. Because he was too in-character guy. And he... What was with the Jordy LaForge?
I don't know.
Glasses?
He's worn those before.
Has he?
Yeah.
All right. I hadn't noticed before. They were out of place. He, takes them off, lifts them up, and he starts doing his, like, just too much Rich Swann. I like when he dials it back a bit. He's more relatable when he dials it back a bit, and he puts on the Walmart sweatpants, which again he didn't have, I don't think, tonight.
No, he had his trunks on.
His trunks on, which aesthetically are way more pleasing. I just prefer Walmart sweatpants.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do?
Yeah. So Arya Daivari comes out and says, "Well, too bad for you, Rich Swann.
Mm-hmm.
TJP is hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Your match against him is canceled. You have a match against me."
Yeah.
Which is what happened next.
Yes.
Another good match.
Yeah.
Rich Swann kind of had the upper hand for most of it until he went to the top rope to go for a Phoenix Splash. TJP's music hits. He walks down on crutches, distracts Rich Swann. Daivari takes advantage, knocks him off the top rope, and wins with his hammerlock clothesline.
Yeah. What's the deal with the crutches?
No, I think he's actually hurt.
Yeah. Do we know when that happened?
No.
Okay. All right.
Because he had a leg brace on, too.
Yeah. Did they mention that? Do you remember them mentioning that at all?
Just only in that interview with Daivari.
Okay.
Nothing else, as far as I know.
All right. let's see here. Then we had... Oh, then to finish things off, we had Akira Tozawa's Cruiserweight Championship celebration. During the night, they went back once or twice to Titus O'Neil celebrating with various people backstage. At one point, he was celebrating with, I could assume, was like one of the writers. And he was trying to dance with him, and then the guy started dancing, and it was not to Titus O'Neil's liking. So he said, you know, maybe this is not going to happen.
Yeah.
So anyways, this was it was really – I love Akira Tozawa.
Oh, he's great.
He seems like – and it's funny because everybody says that he's like the nicest guy.
Yeah.
But he gives him the mic, and he's like, you know, this was a dream come true of mine. And then, of course, it's interrupted by Neville.
Neville.
Who just
Insomniac
Titus,
Neville.
Titus even says, Neville.
You look horrible.
You look horrible.
You look like you haven't slept in days.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
But anyways, Neville, very upset, obviously.
He goes to attack Tozawa.
Mm-hmm.
That backfires.
Mm-hmm.
Tozawa gets the upper hand.
Yeah.
Neville brought up a running clock on the Titantron.
Yeah.
Saying, this is how much longer you have being champion. At SummerSlam, I'm going to get it back.
Yep. Yep. So that is going to be interesting. If this is the taste of Neville without the championship, I'm really excited to see where this is going to go. I feel at SummerSlam, there's no way that he's going to go over. I think he's not going to get it back. We're going to get to see more Neville just descending into like madness,
depression.
Yeah, without the title, I think it's going to be really good.
Yeah. I think so, too. Again, developing...
And they can milk it for a long time.
Yeah, and again, developing really good characters,
mm-hmm,
and building on their stories through matches.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely
good stuff.
Yeah.
Next, NXT. Another pretty solid episode of NXT. Main event was great.
Yeah, it was the go-home for TakeOver.
Yeah.
It was the actual go-home.
We're going to do our TakeOver predictions today, too, Steve.
Ooh.
After we do this recap, of course.
See, if you're a $5 net patron and you're watching this live stream, you could have seen Larson do his GFW Destination X, Destino X.
Knowing absolutely nothing about their product.
Yeah. It's good.
It is good. So, Steve, kick us off.
First off, we had the women's title match contract signing.
William Regal comes out, introduces Asuka.
First Ember Moon comes out.
Ember Moon, sorry, then Asuka.
Ember Moon gets up on the mic and she basically says, you know, you've had a great run. You're great. Big streak, beating Goldberg streak. However, there is one, she said, you haven't taken shortcuts with anybody in the ring except for me. Two takeovers ago, you shoved a ref in the way. And then last takeover, I couldn't even be there because you injured me. But now this is it. This is your time. You're done. Ember Moon seems like her promos. I'm not into the promos.
Yeah, I know.
They just don't fit. They're not convincing. I feel like she could benefit more than a lot of people from simply being herself. Like I honestly think she's a person who all her passion and energy is in her in-ring work, and so she needs to find out how to just deliver an effective promo by being herself.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
No, I know what you mean.
Because I just feel when she tries to kick it up to 11, it just looks like she's trying.
Yeah, I know.
But her in-ring work is fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, it really is. And so if she just lets that speak for itself, then she'll be great. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens to TakeOver. Asuka. Oh, but then the problem also is juxtaposing that with Asuka, who then gets on the mic and just rips her in Japanese, which was fantastic. absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And the crowd, here's the thing. Here's the thing, too, is that that crowd, they can smell, they understand authenticity.
Yeah.
And they will back you if you're simply authentic. And Ember Moon, when she's delivering those community theater-esque promos, just doesn't come off as authentic. So,
yeah, I know. And it's interesting, too, because I think part of the authenticity aspect of it is her packaging is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Her in-ring work's fantastic.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like they've invested nearly as much time in developing her character as they have the other aspects of her wrestling persona.
Here's what I think it is. It's an interesting sort of turnabout, because I think they've spent a lot of time trying to invest in her character. That's the problem. Look at Ruby Riott. Mm-hmm. How much time does she get on the mic? Yet you know exactly who she is.
And I think part of the problem with Ember Moon too is based on her packaging, you expect a certain thing. And we said this a long time ago, that she should have some mystique about her.
Yeah.
Not necessarily be some sort of supernatural gimmick, but she should definitely have mystique. And when we saw her entrance at the house show here, I mean, it's like, wow. When you see it live, it's impressive.
Yeah, it really is.
It really backs up the idea that she should have a certain mystique about her.
Could you imagine if she, the entire time she'd been in NXT, could you imagine how effective it might have been? And I'm not saying this is something I necessarily wanted, but look at Aleister Black. If Ember Moon had never said one word, and we're at this point, and she was just devastating people with that eclipse, which is a fantastic move. That actually, I think, would have been more effective than putting her on the mic.
Oh, I think so, too.
Yeah. You know, it's going to be the same way. Like, I mean, I've seen Aleister Black, you know, talk in like some internet exclusive, YouTube exclusive things, or like on Twitter or whatever. But he hasn't delivered an in-ring promo yet. And he's fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, he's Mystique. One of the most over guys on the roster. So I just think the thing is, I will guarantee she can talk.
Yeah.
It's just she needs to be herself, and she's trying to be something I think that she's not. So it's a weird thing where I think they have tried to invest time.
But like, if I ask you, what's Ember Moon's character?
Yeah. I know.
No, I'm asking you, what is Ember Moon's character?
Well, I don't know, because it's all over the map.
Yeah.
That's a thing. It's, you know, it's somebody who sees herself as true competition for Asuka, but at the same time, like, she's supposed to be this werewolf person. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't get it. I don't know. So, anyways. Moving on.
After that, I had a great segment backstage between William Regal and Lars Sullivan.
Oh, my God. I love this so much. I love it. My only thing about this Lars Sullivan stuff, are they going to try to... Is this going to be... Like, are they trying to do a comedy thing with him? Because it is. I mean, that's what it is.
Well, I mean, there's a comedy aspect, but it's... I don't... His storyline is a comedy storyline, but I don't see him as a comedy wrestler.
Yeah. But the fact that he picked up a guy last night and took him outside...
And dumped him in a garbage can.
Yeah, that's a comedy thing right there. That's a comedy thing right now. But I know what you're saying.
But he's not being portrayed as a comedy wrestler.
Right, yeah.
He's being portrayed as a serious, legitimate, scary monster competitor. Yeah.
Yeah.
So William Regal, or Lars Sullivan, goes into Regal's office and pleads with him. Give me another try.
And number
Give
one,
me another chance. I want another tag team partner.
He's really good. Talk about natural.
Yeah.
This guy, I really feel like he's talking from the heart when he does. I mean, how many people really can pull off backstage acting segments? Not a lot.
I know.
It's
and
not
come
that
off as
easy.
Natural, I know.
And come off as completely natural. I feel like this guy went to Juilliard. I really do. He comes off as so natural. He seems so sincere when he's asking Regal for another shot, because for some reason he wants to be a tag team wrestler, which again is bizarre. He wants to be a tag team wrestler. He doesn't say that, but he's begging Regal for another opportunity to get in the ring with a tag partner, and he's promising him, I will not destroy him in the ring, because Regal says, every time you've destroyed your tag team partner in the ring, and I got to make sure, you know, he's okay. I promise I'm not going to do that. So, of course, Regal, I don't know if Regal's trolling him or what, because he keeps on teaming him with these lumps, with like these sub lumps.
Yeah.
They're worse than lumps. Chris Silvio.
Yeah.
Hilariously bad.
Yeah.
It's so funny. Like the guys they bring up, or they're digging out, and I don't know where they're getting them, but He looks like a reject from the Matrix. He's got like a long leather coat on and sunglasses.
He looks like this is what I thought when I saw him. It was like, okay, we really want to sign Adam Cole, but Adam Cole's under contract. Yeah. So we'll get this guy.
A couple people on Twitter said that too.
Said, we'll get this guy who kind of looks like Adam Cole. Yeah,
Chris Silvio, baby.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So, Chris Silvio, honey.
Lars Sullivan and Chris Silvio took on Street Profits.
I love the Street Profits.
They're so good.
I love the Street. They could be. I was watching them again last night, and I was like, these guys have the potential to be so over on main roster. They really do. They really do. And again, more of that Montez Ford dancing where he can, it's like he breathes and he starts floating in the air. He looks so light.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, it's so good. Anyways, Lars Sullivan tells Chris Silvio, look, I'm starting this. I am starting this match. I want to get some action in, yeah. Right? And so Chris Silvio, you know, says, okay, but then sprints out to the middle of the ring.
Yeah, right as the bell rings.
Starting the match, and the ref says, Lars, you got to get, you know, he's starting it. You got to get back. Lars is pissed off to start the match. Street Profits immediately dominate. Montez, at one point, just goes off into the crowd and starts celebrating with them.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
While Angelo Dawkins takes over, they dominate, end up pinning him. There was a great moment where Montez goes over to Lars. He ends up in that area. And is about to taunt him a little bit. And Lars, what does Lars say exactly?
Oh, I don't remember what he
says. He says something like, let him tag me in or something. And Montez just says, no. And he runs away. So they're selling how scary Lars Sullivan is. They end up winning in easy fashion, just dominating this poor kid, Chris Silvio. They leave. Lars Sullivan, everybody, the commentator, Morrow. I really enjoy Morrow on NXT.
Oh, I do too.
I really do. Because for one thing, he still drops a couple of pop culture references, but they are way more obscure than anything that's happening in current pop culture.
Oh, yeah. He referenced some 80s new wave band last
night.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's really good stuff. So anyway, Lars Sullivan picks up Chris Silvio, slings him over his shoulder.
Well, everybody's expecting him to destroy him.
Right, exactly.
But instead, he takes him backstage.
Yeah, and everybody's like, okay. And they actually start moving on with the show. They go to like a video package of some sort, and then Morrow kicks in and says, hold on a second. Wait, we got to stop this. We've gotten reports of something going on backstage. Lars is taking him backstage. He opens the door to leave.
Yeah. It's like a little patio area.
A little patio area with a dumpster. And he like choke slams him into the dumpster. He just throws him in there. Yeah. He says, go away or whatever.
Oh, it was great.
It was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Lars Sullivan, one of my new favorites. The dude is so, it's just, how are they going to resolve? This guy should be a monster. It's just going to be cut from a different cloth, I guess.
Yeah.
Because I love everything about it. You just, how are they going to get people to understand that a character like that on the mic, you know, you think that he's going to have like this Braun Strowman-esque attitude.
He's relatively soft-spoken.
He's soft-spoken, seems fairly diplomatic. He just has that Hulk temper,
yeah,
you know, which might be the thing.
Maybe he'll plead with Regal for one more chance, and Regal will pair him with, I'm just throwing his name out because we saw him take on Lars Sullivan at the house show, mm-hmm. Oney Lorcan.
Yeah, there you go.
And then that will be the start of Lars Sullivan's first real feud.
Alex C. here in Patreon chat notes that Montez has only been wrestling for 2 years. For 2 years. That's insane. And he's so good. He's so athletic. And he's picked it up.
Oh, yeah.
So good. They're such a fun team, man.
Oh, yeah, they are. Next, we had Ruby Riott take on Billy Kay.
Of course, this is because last week when I watched this again.
It's funny. This all just happened because Ruby Riott happened to be walking in the background
of a makeup tutorial for the iconic duo Billy Kay. The thing that cracked me up. They replayed the iPhone
video
tutorial thing, and when Ruby Riott shows up back there, Billy Kay starts saying Ruby Riott, and I'm like, that's hilarious. What is she even doing? Like, what is that impersonation supposed to be of? It's just hilarious. I love them. I think they're great. Here's the thing that I love about this, watching this. And I know I've seen it before, but like Billy Kay, when they re-debuted her, mm-hmm. and she has that, love that music, right?
Yeah.
And then she has this very...
It's like this flowing cape that she walks
very
down.
Very villainess thing, you know?
Yeah.
And a flowing cape. And she's supposed to be this, like, I don't know, like, that's all I can think. I can think of, like, I don't know, a villain out of a Disney cartoon
where
the princess and you got your villain.
Yeah, totally.
Right? And so somebody who, again, very mystique, you know? You don't expect her, but now she comes out, she's doing that shit. And it's hilarious. The juxtaposition there is so great.
Oh, I know.
It's so weird. But she comes down. And remember we had said before, what's Billy Kay's ceiling? And we said, this is probably it. And no, it's not. Because now she's doing this stuff and there's loads of personality there.
I know.
It's great how they can bring that out. My favorite part of this match is when Ruby Riott was mocking this thing. I was cracking up. It was so good. And they were getting so pissed off about it. I really love Ruby Riott. I think
she's great.
Hell of a wrestler.
She's great.
Fantastic. She don't have a match at TakeOver this week, does she?
No, she doesn't.
That's a bummer.
But she won this match with, I don't know what they call her, finisher.
I don't know.
It's just a kick to the head.
Yeah, it's just a kick to the head. Peyton Royce gets on the mic. Peyton Royce promos crack me up because they're so shrill.
Yeah, they are.
They are so ear-splittingly shrill, which I think plays into her character perfectly.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But my God. They are so horrible to listen to. And they're supposed to be, I guess.
Yeah, that's the whole point of it.
But, man, wow. Anyways, she blazes. She says to Ruby Riott, the worst thing she can come up with is you're not iconic. And Ruby just like, okay.
Yeah.
And just walks away.
After that, there was a video package recapping, I want to say, this is the whole Bobby Roode thing.
Yeah.
So the match, main event. Roderick Strong versus Drew McIntyre.
Yeah, they were still playing up the whole, why would Drew McIntyre take this match, which makes total sense.
Yeah, it makes all the sense.
Because it doesn't make any sense that he would take this, you know, supposedly. I mean, he's like,
TakeOver's
still a month away. What do I have to worry? I can heal up in a month. It's just Roderick Strong. But anyways, no, it's a fantastic match. Roderick Strong can bring, he's one of those guys, you can put him in there with anybody who's competent. And Drew McIntyre is far better than competent.
Yeah.
But you can put him in there, anybody who's competent, and he can bring them to a really, really fantastic match. You put him in there with somebody like Drew McIntyre, and they can put on a really, really, really fantastic match.
Yeah.
And that's what this was.
There's a couple spots where Drew was just tossing Roddy around.
Yeah.
Like that one suplex early in the match where he's lifting it up, you know, effortlessly and just threw him the mat.
Yeah. But then this was Roderick Strong, obviously, was like the most competition Drew McIntyre had seen because then Roderick Strong starts basically chipping away at him.
Yeah, yeah. Towards the end of the match, Roderick Strong had the upper hand.
Right, exactly. Because he's smaller, obviously, than Drew. Drew is a massive human being. And so his strategy was, you know, out wrestle him. It's small ball, basically,
yeah.
You know? So that was good. Of course, when both men have beaten each other up pretty good, Bobby Roode runs in. Karen pops big time for him, and he starts laying into both of them.
The episode ends with Bobby holding the NXT title in the glorious pose.
He gave Roderick Strong, I think, a glorious DDT on the outside,
and then gave one to Drew inside the ring.
On the inside of the ring, yeah. And NXT doesn't usually do, hey, it's day of the show, we're going to turn this into a triple threat. Wouldn't surprise me in this case if they did this, and I don't think anybody would complain if they did. Even Drew McIntyre, I think, would probably, as long as, see, here's the thing, if you have somebody in there who is willing to fight anybody at any time legitimately, then I think that character would be okay. Yeah, make it a triple threat. Why not?
Still have my title shot? Cool.
Exactly. I'm still in the running. I can do it. I'll take on any and all comers. Even though, logically speaking, if you really want your best opportunity, that probably wouldn't be the case.
Yes.
But
let's talk NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 3 now, Steve. Let's do some quick predictions.
All right. Sounds good.
First match, Johnny Gargano versus Andrade Cien Almas.
I think Almas is going to take it. Because he's not going to do Tranquilo.
See, I think he's still in the process.
He still really wants to do Tranquilo.
Yeah, so I think that's ultimately going to cost him the match. They have high hopes for Johnny Gargano. He's going to get a major push. He's winning this match.
I think that they're going to give him a big push. But I think Almas is already in the middle of a story, and you have to continue that.
No, you do have to continue that. The middle of that story is still playing out. Therefore, he's still going to want to Tranquilo, and it's going to cost him this match.
But he's already Tranquiloed.
He did it once. He showed up once on TV.
No, I know. I get your
point. And got chewed out for being for Tranquiloing. I don't think he's lost that impulse yet. He still wants to Tranquilo. Zelina Vega is there to keep him focused. This is the stiffest competition he's faced since he's been in his do I Tranquilo, do I not Tranquilo character.
Yeah.
I think he's going to ultimately lose because of that.
All right. All
Gargano's in store for a major push.
Well, we shall see. We shall see. I still wonder about that. Number one, I think it's going to be a fantastic
match. It'll be really good.
It's going to be really good. But I wonder how much of a... But you say a big push.
Yeah.
How much of a push are you talking about? How much of a push can it be? There's like a million people up at the head, and he's small.
Oh, I know. But he's going to win.
I think he's going to get a relatively medium-sized push.
He's very popular.
I don't think anybody cares about that. I think there's too many people up top for him to get a real push.
I'm not saying he's getting a title shot in 2 months.
Yeah.
But he's going to get a decent push until Ciampa comes back. They're going to have their feud. And then
Ciampa coming back is a ways off. So he doesn't need to start racking up wins just yet.
No, I feel like he does, because Ciampa's whole attitude of why he injured Gargano is because he didn't want Johnny to become a major star while he was out with injury.
Who won in NXT Sacramento?
Gargano.
Did Hideo Itami beat him? No.
No.
Gargano won?
Yeah.
He stood tall at the go-home. Drew McIntyre said that was the go-home. He stood tall, so he's going to lose.
No, he's not.
I don't think that's a lock, though. For either one, I don't think it's a lock. Authors of Pain versus Sanity.
Authors of Pain are winning.
Yeah, Authors of Pain are going to win this.
And then Sanity can go up to the main roster.
I don't know, man. You think Sanity's going up after SummerSlam?
Yeah.
I'm trying to play devil's advocate here. Makes all the sense in the world. Besides the fact that, man, I really love Sanity, and I really want to see them just go up to the main roster.
Yeah.
Which I don't know why I love them in NXT, but they're not really doing anything there.
Exactly. I mean, if Nikki Cross isn't going to get the women's title.
Isn't that getting boring, though? Authors of Pain win again.
Kind of.
Wait a bit. Wait a second.
What?
Why do you think that they're not going to be heading up to main after SummerSlam?
Because I think they see them as the anchors of the tag division for the time being.
Yeah.
Until maybe War Machine comes along.
Once they're like, hey, you know what? Just give me 3 months straight of not almost killing somebody in a match.
And then we'll move you up to the main roster.
And we'll move you to the main roster.
That could be it, too. Next.
Hold on. I'm hesitating on this Authors of Pain versus Sanity. Authors of Pain need something to do, and Sanity have numbers. I'm going with Sanity.
All right.
I'm going to go. Who's fighting, anyways? Who is it? Eric Young and...
Is it Damo? Damo and Wolf.
I'm going to say Sanity to give Authors of Pain something to chase.
Okay.
I'm going to say Sanity. I might lose this entire predictions. I might go 0-1, 2-3.
No,
4,
you're
going to
get the next match right.
Aleister.
Yeah. That one's a lock.
Aleister Black is absolutely going over Hideo Itami. When do you think Aleister Black is going to lose a match?
When he gets in the main roster.
when he has to drop the NXT title. Yeah. Asuka versus Ember Moon. Ew.
This one's tough.
Yeah, man. You know what, man? I'll believe it when I see it. I'm going to say Asuka. I will believe it when I see it.
I'll say Ember Moon.
All right.
I don't really have.
You're probably here. Here's the obvious case for Ember Moon is they just need to move on. They need to move on. But does that mean Asuka's going to go to Maine after SummerSlam?
They might do the rematch.
Yeah, but we've always seen rematches happen like, you know, concurrently with main roster.
Not necessarily. It's been successive pay-per-views before or takeovers.
Okay, when's the last time that would have happened?
Bailey.
Did Shinsuke go to main before
Bailey and Asuka?
Before Bobby Roode's rematch, did Shinsuke go to main? No, he didn't go to main after their first match. He didn't do double duty.
Yeah, he did.
Shinsuke did double duty.
Yeah, because it was San Antonio where he lost it, and then Orlando where he lost again. That was
right, but after Orlando is when he debuted. That was my question.
No, I know. I'm saying, but it's like he lost the belt to San Antonio, had his rematch at the next takeover, and then left.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I was saying Asuka's not going to drop it here. Like, when's the last time we saw somebody drop it, go to Maine, and then come back to NXT for the rematch?
Oh, that's never happened, as far as I know.
No, it has happened. Sasha or Bailey. Sasha did it.
Kevin Owens might have.
Kevin Owens might have done it too.
Main event: Bobby Roode versus Drew McIntyre.
Okay,
let's assume this is the match. Let's assume this is the match that actually happens, since it's been announced.
Well, no, we can do. There's two predictions to be had here. Number one, will this be a triple threat? And if so, who wins?
No, I don't think it's gonna be a
triple. You don't think it's gonna be a triple threat? Roderick Strong is going to be at TakeOver doing something.
Yeah, he'll be in. I'm not saying he won't get involved in this match, but I don't think it's going to be a triple threat.
And TakeOver has never, they've never given us shenanigans. Usually, they do not do shenanigans.
Don't. I know.
To their credit.
Yeah. Bobby's going to win.
Drew's going to win. And that'll get Bobby into the thing with Roderick Strong.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need the title for that.
No, they don't. And Roddy said as much.
And then Drew will go on to face...
Adam Cole, baby.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, Drew takes on...
99.9% chance that Adam Cole shows up at TakeOver.
Oh, that's definitely happening. That is absolutely happening. I don't think he's going to get involved or anything. So let me ask you this. What I think I asked you this before. Crowd... Or milling about backstage.
Crowd, sure. Crowd's guaranteed, but he could get involved in the match.
He's not getting involved in it. Could you imagine if he teamed up, if him and Roderick Strong like both jumped to the main event? That'd be something else. That'd be pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that happening. I don't know. I couldn't. I would not see that happen.
It'd be very surprising. It usually doesn't happen.
They're not going to have shenanigans at a takeover. There isn't another one for 3 months.
Well, I mean, they could if it really builds the story up. They could. They don't usually do it that way, but it could happen.
Drew's going to win. Bobby Roode's going to come out in the next taping and be super pissed. And then Adam Cole's going to challenge him. I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about. Anyways, yeah, I'm going to lose all these.
No, there's one you're going to get right.
Yeah, I know. The only one that we're both getting right. Otherwise,
you never know.
Losing this. But here's my thing. I don't think any of these are like a lock besides Aleister Black.
Yeah, that's the only one that's a lock.
That's a lock.
Let's say the next closest lock is Gargano.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You are that man. You are that huge on that.
It's the second match back.
Yeah.
He's winning.
Yeah, I know, but it's Johnny Gargano. Like, it's not like it's, I don't know.
He's winning. I can see the story being that he
not a lot.
Strings together a bunch of wins without Ciampa.
Yeah.
Gets to be what Ciampa didn't want, a star on his own right, and Ciampa comes back super upset.
Where's the tension in that? I say he loses a bunch, and he realizes he can't do it without Ciampa, and then he finally gets it over Ciampa. That's a long ways out, though.
That is.
Ciampa, when's Ciampa? He's like, what,
6 months,
2 years from now, something like that?
6 months, probably.
I say he goes on a losing streak over takeovers and finally gets a win over Ciampa.
No, I don't think it's going to happen.
That was his, because he's still psychologically and emotionally scarred.
But he hasn't really been doing that at all, though. Like, his first promo back, he seemed like, all right, I'm pretty much moved on from this.
I know, but that shouldn't be the case. Good writing would be he loses. Anyways.
But then I could do that with a wrestler that's that popular with the NXT crowd.
Oh, let's do questions.
I
think you're overstating how popular you think he is. He's popular, but he's not like, I don't know. He's the guy who got he's a little puppy. He's a little puppy popular.
Well, I told you my rationale.
Little puppies don't win anything.
It's twofold. One, Gargano's popular. Two, almost is in the midst of a character. He's not, or in a storyline. He's not in his fully formed, non-tranquilo state yet.
All right, man. All right.
Nemo, who is the better crazy person, Neville or Kendrick?
Neville. Neville is like all in on his character, dude. And Kendrick is too, but it's Neville. The Steel City champion, Benny Yinzer, dance off. Montez Ford versus Alexander Wolf. Who wins?
Montez.
Montez, because he literally levitates. We only got 5 dislikes on our morning news clickbait.
You're so obsessed.
Well, as soon as you hit public on the YouTube and it went out to everybody, I looked at that thumb again. I was like, oh, this is the most clickbaity shit.
That's fine. We don't do it that often. Tommy T, hey, friendo. So I have to ask, whenever you guys talk about anyone you like, you almost always say at some point they're above being heel or face. My question is, disregarding how Triple H sees it, what wrestlers actually are above being heel or face? Brock Lesnar is. He's above heel or face.
Who's above heel or face? Brock Lesnar. Okay, do you consider Roman Reigns above heel or face?
I don't, I think that's a little more
is ignoring heel and face the same thing?
No. For me, transcending the heel-face spectrum has to do with kind of attaining a certain... I don't know if popularity is the right word. But it's that people enjoy their work so much that regardless of how they book them, they will cheer them. AJ Styles, he transcends heel or face.
No, see, I disagree with that assessment of the heel or face dynamic. Because AJ Styles, nobody wants to boo him. That's not transcending. Brock Lesnar and AJ Styles do not fit the same heel-face dynamic. Brock Lesnar, people cheer him simply because he is a monster and he is so dominant.
Yeah, they like to see him beat up people.
They like to see him beat up people. Yeah.
Even if they book him as a heel, they will cheer him because he's beating people up. Even if creative books him as a heel, if he goes in there and beats up everybody, the crowd will pop.
There's a.
I'm not saying there's the same. The reasoning behind why AJ and Brock transcend heel face is not the same.
Okay, all right.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying wrestlers who, regardless of what creative wants to do, the crowd will respond in a very specific way.
I think there's a difference though between people just wanting, because AJ puts on the most entertaining matches. And people love that so hardcore that, and on top of that, he didn't do anything that was so, even when he was on the mic as a heel. Okay.
He threw Shane through a car Kevin Owens. Window.
Do you think Kevin Owens transcends heel or face? No, he's a heel.
He did at times with Jericho.
No.
He did.
Just because you're entertaining doesn't mean you transcend heel face. He's still a bad guy. Brock transcends because people know that he's like the most dominant guy and he's never around and absence makes the heart grow fond.
I don't think that's the case at all.
Absolutely, man. He's the most dominant guy.
He is, but I think people hold it against him that he's never around.
You think people hold it against him that he's never around? Mm-hmm. No, if that was the case, they would boo him. If people held it against him, they would boo him.
There's a certain portion of the internet fandom that holds it against them. They want their champion around all the time.
All right, agree to disagree. Roman Reigns, though, I think
that's a lack of clarity and vision from creative. That's why.
Okay, there you go. I was going to use a more abstract metaphor, but there you go. Lack of clarity and vision for Roman Reigns.
What
about John Cena? No, he's a face.
He's a face.
He's a face.
He's a face.
Exactly.
He carries himself like a face.
Yes,
the fact that the crowd boos him doesn't change that at all.
Brock Lesnar, I don't think this is one aspect of it. Also, is that the performer themselves has to not care if they're heel or face. Brock doesn't. Kevin Owens cares. Kevin Owens wants to be a heel.
Yeah, he wants to be a heel.
Brock does not care.
No.
Brock doesn't think that he's a heel or face. Brock is just Brock.
Nightcrawler. Hey, friendo. So I recently purchased and read What Culture's New Wrestling Book with the top 100 active wrestlers today. It was great. So I want you guys to power rank the top 5 active wrestlers in WWE considering all aspects, not just their wrestling ability. So consider stuff like drawing power, mic work, and so on. I mean, if you consider in-ring ability, drawing power, mic work, then it's John Cena is number one.
Easily number one. It's John Cena. I would say Seth is in the top 5. AJ's obviously in the top 5.
You might have to put Reigns in there too. Because apparently he draws. Maybe he sells merch or he did at one point.
I mean,
I hesitate to do so, but if the numbers suggest that he's worthy based on the metrics we set aside, then yeah.
I mean, couldn't you put Enzo in the top 5 then?
Well, because he sells a lot of merch.
He fulfills two of those categories.
Yeah, but he's also crap in the ring.
Promo and sells merch. Roman Reigns, crap promo, sells merch.
He's good in the ring. He's capable in the ring.
He's capable in the ring. What about Shinsuke? I mean, you can say his mystique takes the place of promo.
Yeah, you could say that.
Because you're talking about character.
Yeah.
So Shinsuke, maybe. I don't know if Shinsuke draws. I imagine he does.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I wouldn't put Braun in there.
No, not yet.
Jinder Mahal.
Baron Corbin.
No! I totally forgot about him. I think everybody else is, too. Oh, this is a great question.
All right, ask it then.
Alex C., do you want them to go full Bronson with Jack Gallagher?
Oh,
yes.
Oh, man, that'd be great.
Oh, that'd be great. Are you kidding me? He needs to start getting jacked.
King of Hostile, Joshua the Dynamic Knight Martinez. Could you see Roderick Strong getting involved in the title match at Brooklyn to get back at Rude? Maybe that's when the Ring of Honor stable gets assembled.
Oh, man.
The only reason I would say no is because that's not how they typically operate.
They
in NXT.
Don't do... It's a takeover. You can't have... You can have shenanigans left and right on takeover TV shows.
You mean NXT takeover? Or
NXT, shows. Yeah. Sorry, NXT TV shows.
But unless there's some... Here's the only way that they can get away with it. If Adam Cole's involved. Because that would pop the crowd.
It would super pop the crowd. That's a defining moment. You're okay with that. That's good.
Yeah, and then you could interrupt the title match.
You could do
to close takeover if Adam Cole's involved. Because that's major. That's huge.
Dom the Man Hilberg, co-winner of Chat Trivia yesterday.
Yes.
Hey, friendos, prediction time. Jinder versus Nakamura. Over or under 3 stars?
3 stars exactly.
I was going to say that, too. Exactly 3 stars.
Eddie Jose Guevara Menivar.
Menivar.
Is Neville the best on the mic with the most intriguing character in the whole WWE right now? Who is better as a whole package than him, if there is anyone?
Who's he talking about? Neville?
Yeah. Neville might be the most interesting, compelling character in all of WWE TV right now.
I will not disagree with that. He really is. He's fantastic. God, he's so good.
The only person, this is especially after going to the NXT House show, that compares is Bobby Roode.
Like, could you?
Bobby Roode is so good.
He's so good.
He is so entertaining.
I know. He really is. Isn't it? I mean, would you have ever predicted that Austin Aries versus Neville, Neville would have outshined Austin Aries to such a degree? Because now when you look back on it in retrospect, in hindsight, with more clarity of vision, Neville just completely outshone him.
Oh, yeah.
Insane.
Brock without the K. Lesnar. Who would you guys hire, Lars Sullivan or Braun Strowman, to be the official Going in Raw bodyguard?
Oh, it's Lars Sullivan. Absolutely, it's Lars Sullivan. It'd be great. Because you could, like, driving on the road, he seems like a funny guy. Braun does, too.
Yeah,
you
Braun
see that Juno
like
thing?
No, I didn't see that.
It's really good.
But yeah, they both seem like funny guys. You like this one. Tyler Farrar. What are the odds we see Kendrick?
The other co-winner of Chat Trivia.
Yes. Have a gun at the duel next week.
0, but sadly, I'd like it to be 100. It'd be fantastic. One more question, and then we're done.
Yeah. It's lunchtime.
I typically die, and I disagree with this. I typically don't like reading two questions from the same person, but Alex C. kills it every time. Alex C., as much as I love Angelo Dawkins, has anyone ever become a Jannetty as fast as him? Montez Ford is so much money. I disagree. I agreed with that week one, and then I saw him again week two, and I think that those two guys together have so much damn chemistry that I could see them going so far together.
Yeah.
But Montez Ford is so much money.
Oh, yeah.
He is so much money. So that question, as much as it amuses me, and superficially you could say yes, I want to say no. Because
literally one of the first things you said about Street Profits.
Have you ever seen...
Is that Dawkins was the Jannetty of the pair.
Well, okay. Athletically speaking, have you ever seen somebody look so unathletic because they're next to somebody who is so otherworld athletic? Like Angelo Dawkins, I don't think he's a very athletic guy. You can wear a headband and some basketball shorts as much as you want. He's not like that weird move he does where he's got somebody in the corner and then he just sort of spin jumps into them.
Oh, the 360 splash.
Come on. That's like what? That's 110 splash, if that. That dude is not, he is not 360 in the air. He is not 360 in the air, and he gets maybe 3 inches of air in the first place. He is not that athletic. I mean, it's like, come on, it's like Montez Ford and Steve in there. Give me a break. I could be a Street Profit. Yeah, so I could see that, but I think that the group together are going to be so over, and I think that's going to help Angelo Dawkins a lot in terms of him not being a Jannetty.
Yeah.
That's what I'll say.
Yes.
Because I really like them both.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Anyways, that's it.
That's it.
That's it for NXT 205 Live Recap. We'll be back tomorrow with our Dirt Sheet Predictions hybrid episode. And then I think we're going to do something about the G1 for count out.
I thought we were going to do matches we want it.
That seems easy enough.
Yeah, we can put that together quick-like.
Awesome. Thanks for watching. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.